Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is written in the book of Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 12 and then 17 to 19. So then, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, so also death spread to all people because all sinned. Indeed, if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through the one man, it is even more certain that those who receive the overflowing grace of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So then, just as one trespass led to a verdict of condemnation for all people, so also one righteous verdict led to life-giving justification for all people. For just as through the disobedience of one man the many became sinners, so also through the obedience of one man the many will become righteous. This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, Eden was a paradise on earth. Everything was perfect. Animal and man lived together with no animosity, with no fear whatsoever. But then a rebellion occurred in heaven. Satan wanted to be rated as at least equal to or better than Jesus. God said that can't happen. And so Satan and his followers, the wicked angels, were evicted from heaven. And hell was created as a place for them to live eternally. But Satan did not remain inactive. He became a tyrant in Eden. But even that work would not last forever. So Paul pictures for us a tyrant dethroned. First of all, we look at what happened in the garden. Adam's sin made a subject of death. What was Satan's goal? To lead God's prized creation, mankind, away from God. To lead God's prized creation, man, to disobey God. And the way was simple. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was in the center of the garden. God said, don't eat of that. You can eat of everything else, but not of that tree. And so the devil came into the garden and tempted Eve. If you eat of that tree, you will know good and evil. You will be like God. She ate, gave to her husband. He ate. And the result, as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, mankind fell. Mankind was no more or no longer perfect. Sin entered the world, and not just in man, but in all parts of creation. Even the animals were now affected by this sin that Adam and Eve had done as they fell to the devil's temptation. So also death spread to all people because all have sinned. For just as through the disobedience of one man, the many became sinners. We call this original sin. When you were conceived, you were already sinful. Doesn't talk about the sins you do later on. It just says by birth, because of what Adam and Eve did, you are sinful. And the result of sin, death reigned through the one man. Death. Temporal death. We've been made very aware of that in this last month here at Trinity, haven't we? All people sooner or later will die. Except those who are alive when Jesus returns on Judgment Day. Christian Barnhart, you know who he is? Any idea? He was a heart surgeon who actually formed the first artificial heart. And his comment was, after it worked, he said, now we don't have to worry. Man will never die. If they have a bad organ, we just replace it and they keep on living. He died of a heart attack. So goes the wisdom of man. All people will die. It's a result of the fact that Adam and Eve sinned. Death entered the world. But there's an even worse consequence of that sin. So then, just as one trespass led to a verdict of condemnation for all people. Now that's eternal death. That's going to live with the devil and his angels in hell. A place that God created, first of all, for the devil, and then after the fall into sin, for those who would not believe. Because of our actions, we can't please God. And so we deserve also to experience that eternal death. That's what the devil, the tyrant, brought into the world when he caused Adam and Eve to succumb to that temptation, to eat of that fruit, and to bring sin into the world. So far, it doesn't look very good, does it? Because we're born sinful, we're born under the anger of God, we deserve eternal death. But in the funerals that I just had, I said, death isn't the end. Christ came to take away the tyrant's power, to take away eternal death from us. He says, so also through the obedience of one man, the many will become righteous. The obedience of the one man. The obedience of Jesus, obeying his Father's commands. And his Father told him, even before mankind sinned, he said, I know what my prized creation is going to do, and I don't want mankind to go to hell, all of them. I want them to have a chance to go to heaven. And so I command you, become a human being. Live on this earth, he said, a prescribed time, ended up 33 years. Do what mankind can't do. Obey all my laws, which I said they have to do if they want to be my children and I will be their God. So you do it for them. Jesus obeyed. He was born. He celebrated his birthday on Christmas Day. Yes, he lived for 33 some years. And yes, he lived a perfect life. Not to make a name for himself, but to give us the opportunity to appear before our Father in heaven, and he will not see our sins, but instead the spotless robe which Christ has given to us. His Father also said, you must die. I demand a sacrifice to pay for the sins of all people of all time. And so as he neared the end of his life, he prepared to once again go up to Jerusalem. His disciples said, don't do it. It's too dangerous. The Lord said, that's why I have come. And I'm going up to Jerusalem. And I'm going to die. That's what my Father has ordered me to do. And so he allowed himself to be arrested, mocked, beaten, ridiculed, sentenced to death, the death of a criminal, nailed to the cross, suffered the pain of that kind of death, and he died. Just before he died, he said, it is finished. In Greek, it's one word. It is finished. My work for saving mankind is complete. Their sins are now paid for. The perfect life has been done. That's what my Father told me to do. And I've obeyed him, and I've obeyed him perfectly. Result for us? Righteousness. Perfection. obedience. That's not us. That was Jesus. And he said, that perfect robe that I now have gained, you may wear. When will we wear that? Not now. I don't think any of us are perfect, are we? We still all make mistakes. We're still sinful. But when we appear before that judgment seat of God, God will look at us and he will not see our sinful nature. He will see that righteousness which Christ has won for us. So it becomes ours. What then is the future for us? Twofold. First of all, yeah, we're going to die. Every one of you sitting here, unless the Lord appears shortly, is going to die. How? I don't know. When? I don't know. Will it be quick or will it be a long illness? I don't know. But we will die. That's a result of sin. But we have something to look forward to. And that's why I have a joy preaching at funerals. Because I can tell the people that if you believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior, that he lived a perfect life for you, that he gave up his life on the cross to pay for your sins, if you believe that he overcame death and the devil with his resurrection, you will go to heaven. Now, what's heaven like? I don't want your opinions. I think everybody has ideas on what heaven is like. Most of the ideas pertain to what you really like to do here. But heaven won't be that way. Because everything you like to do here is tainted with sin. And there is no sin in heaven. John, the evangelist, had a glimpse of heaven. He said, I don't have the vocabulary to be able to even begin to describe the glories that are there. So I don't know really what heaven will look like. It's got to be a big place, right? That's where all the believers of all time will be there, plus all of the good angels, plus God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I know it will be perfect. Means no sin, no devil, no anger, no jealousy. I was asked recently, are there degrees of glory in heaven? There are, but you won't know it. Because when we think of degrees of somebody better than somebody else, that's sinful because we get jealous. Ain't going to happen in heaven. We'll be there. And guess what? All of you sitting here now could be in the choir because you will all be singing God's praises and you will do it perfectly on key. I had one elderly man when I was a pastor at Neillsville, Wisconsin. That was in the early 1980s. He loved to sing. At that time, I could sing pretty well, too. He would always stand next to me when the choir sang. He was a monotone. One tone the whole song, and loudly. And we never said to him, no, you can't sing in choir anymore. Because he sang from his heart. He was praising God in one of the ways he thought he could do. And I believe that was the case until he passed away. And he's passed away for quite a few years now. In heaven, that won't be the case. You'll sing God's praises all the time and you will be perfect at it. That's the place where you're going to go. And that's the place I describe to you now. I describe at funerals. That's the place for those who believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. So what does that do with the devil? We heard in the gospel the temptation. Very tempting ones. You haven't eaten for a while here. Turn the stone into bread and eat. Jump off the high building. God will protect you. Or you can have all the world that you can see. Just bow down to me. Jesus said no, quoting scripture every time. The devil failed there. When Jesus died on the cross in the movie, The Christ, the devil was smiling. The picture of the tomb empty, the devil was gone. He had been defeated. He was dethroned. That's what Paul was telling his readers when he wrote to the people in Rome. That's what he tells us. The tyrant, the devil, Satan, has been overthrown. For the believer, eternal death is gone. Jesus had made this possible through his life, death, and resurrection. Yeah, the devil is strong. We see that today, don't we? As the world seems to be turning more and more to him. But his strength is nothing in comparison to the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ. The tyrant is dethroned. The Lord is king. Amen.